Good morning to everyone. Happy Easter. Happy Easter Monday. Well, we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord in a very special way by having this octave, 8 days, to celebrate that singular event of our Lord's resurrection from the dead. It's Easter Sunday spread throughout 8 days. To help us have this truth sink in deeper into our psyche, into our spirits, so we have it as our weapon, as our assurance of our own resurrection, and a weapon to defeat any enemy. The apostles proclaimed this truth strongly. Well, they were ashamed, you know. They were very embarrassed with having abandoned the Lord to his passion and death. But they returned with a vengeance. Because after being sorry for their sins, well, because of their great love and the grace of God, they could do more. And they did more. And we will witness this in the liturgy of the word these coming days. In the whole Easter season, to get ourselves soaked up in this truth of the Lord's resurrection. When generals and kings, pharaohs and monarchs, during the ancient days, when they returned from victory from a battle or a war campaign against the enemy, and they had succeeded, they were victorious. On their way back to Rome, they would send out couriers, messengers to announce to each town or village in their path, and eventually to Rome itself, to announce there the Evangelion, Greek for the good news. So that was the use of that term, Evangelion, which is translated to English as the gospel, evangelization, which is the spread of the gospel. In Greek, evangelion, taken from this human context, the victory of this general against the African corps or the African barbarians, or in the north against the Germans or the Gauls. So they would announce. Christians took this term to spread in their evangelization, their work of evangelization, to spread this good news that Jesus Christ, God, became man and died on the cross and resurrected to save us from our sins. This is the story, the narrative of Christianity, repeated incessantly, unceasingly throughout this 20 or 21 centuries since the fact happened. And we must continue with it, because from it we can get a lot of energy, a lot of graces. And so we read in the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading of today's Mass, Easter Monday, chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles. Remember that this is written by Saint Luke, the author also of the Gospel according to Saint Luke. And Saint Luke was a doctor, and he was a disciple of Peter. So he was recording the preaching of Peter. And it comes out here. On the day of Pentecost, so now we are celebrating the resurrection, right? But because of that resurrection, we have a series of events that were kicked off, that began to roll, and eventually end with the coming of the Holy Spirit, which signals the birthday, the birth, or we may even say, opening, the inaugural opening of business in the church. Now, what is this business of the church? Salvation. So it's a business that you bring something in exchange. Like you exchange hands, you give the money, And then the one you gave the money to gives you a product, a something, a car or a device or gadget. So that's business, right? So in salvation, it's the same. We bring our sins, and then we are forgiven, and then we are given grace. I mean, this is all a win-win situation. We just have to present ourselves, and then God does the rest. So let's listen here. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed the crowd in a loud voice. Men of Israel, listen to what I am going to say. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God by the miracles and portents and signs that God worked through him when he was among you, as you all know. So Peter summarized the events to these people. And this man, who was put into your power by the deliberate intention and foreknowledge of God, you took and had crucified by men outside the law. You killed him. So remember, he says in second person plural, you, those who screamed there in that plaza where the Pilate was judging Jesus. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. That was the roar of the crowd, instigated by their leaders, religious leaders, from their high priests and Pharisees and scribes. And you killed him, but God raised him to life. So Saint Luke speaks in this way because he talks of Jesus insofar as he is human. Okay, insofar as he's human, he did not use his humanity to resurrect himself. No, his humanity had no power of doing that. It was a divine power. So when he speaks, when it is said that Jesus rose with his own power, that means you're talking about Jesus resurrecting, using his divinity. But when we say, and this is as it is said here, he is raised from the dead, we're speaking about his humanity, which cannot raise himself. So, someone, the divine power, God, raised him from the dead. So it says here, God raised him to life, freeing him from the pangs of Hades. For it was impossible for him to be held in its power, since as David says of him, I saw the Lord before me always, for with him at my right hand, nothing can shake me. So my heart was glad, and my tongue cried out with joy. My body too will rest in the hope that you will not abandon the soul, my soul, to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to experience corruption. You have made known the way of life to me. You will fill me with gladness through your presence. You see, this body of Jesus, his soul rather, descended to hell, right? But this was not the hell, as we had mentioned the other day, was not the hell of the damned. Well, the hell of the damned, you enter there and you don't get out. I mean, the souls there are damned for eternity. So it's not there that Jesus goes to pick up those souls, those just souls who were holy in the Old Testament. Moses, Adam and Eve, you know, Saint Joseph himself. He died before Jesus consummated his sacrifice in Calvary. So they were all waiting there to be picked up so that they would all go together with Jesus with a ticket to enter heaven. And he brought them to heaven that day that he descended to the dead. So this is what God does. That's why we have all this hope. My heart was glad, my tongue cried out with joy. My body will rest in the hope that you will not abandon my soul to Hades. We are not left helpless. God is coming or has come to the rescue. Of course, if we do not want to follow our Lord, I mean, we will suffer, we will be damned. That's why we all have to submit to what the Lord wants. You remember Our Lady telling the attendants there in Cana, do whatever he tells you. Just do it. And then whatever miracle that will happen So they filled, he said, fill the jars with water. And they filled the jars. And St. Luke is very clear. They filled the jars to the brim. That was their initiative. That was not in the instruction. But Jesus turned it to wine. Yeah, had they filled it only one half full or three fourths full, they will only have wine up to that amount. But since they filled it to the brim, they got all the possible wine that could fit into those jars because the water reached the brim. Brothers, no one can deny that the patriarch David himself is dead and buried. His tomb is still with us. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn him an oath to make one of his descendants succeed him on the throne, what he foresaw and spoke about was the resurrection of the Christ. He is the one who was not abandoned to Hades, whose body did not experience corruption. God raised this man, Jesus, to life. And all of us are witnesses to that. That is it. The apostles lay down their lives for this witness. Jesus is not dead. I mean, they would not give up their lives if the founder, if Jesus had not risen from the dead. I mean, what for? You know? Jesus would be just like Jose Rizal, I mean, a great man, and he died. That's it. But for me to give up my life, I have thought much more assurance that I would resurrect. And that's what Jesus assures us if we follow him in the recipe. Let's make that resolution then to go to the sacraments, because in the sacraments, we follow Christ. In each sacrament, we imitate Christ's dying and resurrecting. In baptism, although we have the more common nowadays, you know, the pouring of the water on the head, but originally baptism was done by immersion. We submerge underwater, and that's to descend to the grave, like Jesus, and then we get up from the water, and we resurrect, baptized, cleansed of our sins, right? The same with confession. We enter the confessional, and then we die. You know, we accept our sins. We're so embarrassed, maybe. We're so humiliated. We die. I give these sins up. I mean, I don't want to continue with them. That's why I'm sorry for them. I want to start anew. And God gives us the absolution, and we go out of the confessional happy, practically resurrected. So all the sacraments are like that. We die with Christ, and we resurrect with Christ. Thank you for listening, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!